Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, it's Missy, and this is Lattes and Legends. Hi, happy Sunday. Yeah, it's Sunday. I missed last week. Sorry. Started working again full time, and you know, Sunday was my day to catch up on laundry and house stuff, and that is what I did. So here I am today. You probably hear my coffee brewing in the background because it's that time for my second cup of coffee, and it's noon, so it's just perfect. So I hope everyone had a good weekend, is having a good weekend, has a good week, what have you. Thanks again for the new followers on Facebook and Instagram. I've been trying my best to keep up with Instagram and Facebook. You guys know how I am. I'm not the best at it, but I'm going to keep trying. What else am I doing? So I wanted to share some things I've been watching and listening to. I watched The Night Stalker on Netflix, and I hope all of you did as well. I kept reading things like, oh, it's too graphic. I follow true crime, blah, blah, blah. It's too graphic for me. Either I'm like super desensitized to things that are graphic, or I'm heartless because it wasn't, quote, too graphic for me. I feel like it was really well done. I liked that it came from the detective's point of view, and I loved that we got to see the survivor who was in his grasp when she was little. And it's crazy because she and I are the same age, and so it would have been, I don't know, it just would have been crazy to be a six-year-old and have that happening. And yeah, I loved it. It was great. I think they did a really good job with it. So, however, I needed a palate cleanse afterwards. So I started watching the Star Wars movies again on Disney Plus, and then I started listening to a Star Wars podcast on Spotify, and it was a 7-part series about the movie, and just really, I loved it, and it turned me back into my full-on nerddom, as I get sometimes, and yeah, I really loved it. So find the podcast. I don't even remember what it's called. It's on Spotify. It's by Wondery, and I've now gotten obsessed with them. Yeah, I just finished Death of a Starlet on Wondery, and that was really good. So yeah, that's what's been going on in my life. Not too much. Looks like we're getting a huge snowstorm. So yeah, I might be inside for a few days. Hold on, let me get my coffee. I'm back. I have coffee in hand. It's nice and hot. So today I'm going to go back to some cursed films. And I'm pretty sure this one will take the whole episode to talk about. And in my mind, I'm like, how have I not done this one? Because it's pretty much a staple of my childhood. And when I was in the mountains for my birthday, I was at a hotel, and some of you know that we don't have a television. So when I go to hotels, I have a tendency to turn on AMC or, I don't know, a channel, and I watch it. Oh, I watched it for hours because I don't have a TV at home, and it's so much, I don't know, like I always feel like I'm on vacation if I'm just sitting around watching television, because that's not my lifestyle in general, to sit around and watch television. Anyway, when I was on this trip with my girlfriend, she and I went down the rabbit hole. So my birthday's in October, so of course it was AMC's doing their 30 Days of Horror films, which was always my favorite thing when I had a television. So the show comes on about The Crow, and the show, I guess, is now on Shudder, which now I feel like I have to get Shudder. But the show is on Shudder, and it's all about cursed films. I think it's even called Cursed Films. And so we were sitting there watching it, and the movie they're talking about is The Crow. And in my mind, I'm like, have I done this on my podcast? No, I haven't done it on my podcast. I've done every other cursed film on my podcast. I haven't talked about The Crow. So, that being said, today's episode is about the curse of The Crow. So let's talk about it. My sources for today's episode: Wikipedia, therep.com, cbsnews.com, a list from ranker.com. Guys, I'm obsessed with that website. What else? meaww.com, sci-fi.com, halloweenyearround.wordpress.com, mentalfloss.com, and cheatsheet.com. So, first I'm just going to talk about some fun facts, because we always want to learn fun facts before we go into the horrible things that happened on the set of The Crow. So, it's based on a graphic novel, and the graphic novel was actually inspired by two different tragedies. So, in 1981, 21-year-old James O'Barr was drawing combat manuals in the Marines when he decided to start The Crow. He hoped it would be a healthy way of dealing with the death of his fiance, who had been killed by a drunk driver. He said, quote, "I tried all the typical angst-ridden outlets, like substance abuse and going to clubs or parties every night, and just basically trying to keep myself numb for as long a period of time as possible. Eventually, I was smart enough to realize that that was all a dead end. And so I thought perhaps putting something down on paper, I could exercise some of that anger," end quote. So, if you know the story of The Crow, this whole story of his fiance getting killed was pivotal to the whole plot of the comic book. So, then he heard about a tragedy where a couple got killed over an engagement ring. And he said that he thought it was crazy because the ring was like $30 or something. And so he said that was really two lives wasted. He said He said, quote, "That became the beginning of the focal point and the idea that there could be a love so strong that it could transcend death, that it could refuse death, and this soul would not rest until it could set things right," end quote. So, early on, people saw this comic book and like, oh, this should be a movie. So the comic book came out February 1st, 1989, and then he did a second issue. And then he was approached by a director. So he said the money was really good, and so he really considered doing it. He did get an agent, and the agent talked to a bar about selling the rights to the comic, and there was just, you know, lots of legal issues that go into it. There were some writers that wanted to turn the comic book into a screenplay. So clearly, it worked. All right, so there were two writers that wanted to make it into a screenplay, John Shirley and Jeff Most, and they made a lot of changes to it. They downplayed Eric Draven's drug use, and they also made the crow into an actual animal and not just Eric's psyche. So in the comics, it's just in his psyche, and he just spoke to it telepathically, but if you've seen the movie, it's an actual animal. So while Shirley worked on the script, Most took the treatment and the comics and went about shopping the screenplay. Eventually, he found a producer to help make the movie. Shirley honed the script. He added an older brother for Sarah, a young girl with a drug addict for a mother who befriends Eric and Shelley, and turned the Skull Cowboy into a spirit guide. All right, so lots of things were changed in the graphic novel and the movie. All right, so immediately the producers knew who they wanted to star in the movie and who would direct the movie. So Alex Proyas was an Australian director, and he had done a lot of movies, music videos and commercials, but no big features. And that's who they wanted to direct. He was in high demand, and apparently all of Hollywood was like, he is the next big thing. So he signed on to the movie in 1991. The producers were looking at a lot of different musicians to play Eric Draven, but their first choice was always Brandon Lee. So if you don't know anything about Brandon Lee, he is the son of Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee's story is something in another podcast altogether. But he was famous for his work in martial arts films. And even though Brandon Lee was in a few movies, like, he hadn't had a breakout role. So they saw him and they're like, he's it. He's going to do it. So when they called him in to audition, they just immediately knew that he was Eric Draven, first and foremost. All right, so Brandon Lee even asked for some changes on the movie. He asked for one character to be removed. So he read the script, and he wanted a supervillain to be cut out of the movie. And the supervillain was Asian, and he basically set out to steal all of Eric's powers. And Lee thought this character was super stereotypical of Asian people, and he felt that it needed to be cut out. So they did. With the makeup, there were lots of rumors that it was really hard to get the exact look that they wanted for Eric Draven. Many people said that the makeup was inspired by Kiss or Alice Cooper, but Obar, the comic writer, said that this was not the case at all. He actually told fans at a comic convention that it was based more on like a marionette's mask, which, quote, "I thought it'd be interesting to have this painful face with a smile forcibly drawn on it." Interesting. It took about 35 minutes to an hour to apply his makeup each day so that it could stay in place for hours. There was actually a rubber mask created for Brandon Lee to wear, so the makeup would be consistent, because it was so hard to get it right, and lights and sweating and yeah. Mm-hmm. So Brandon Lee wasn't a fan of the makeup at first, and neither was the director. they were really unhappy with it. And it was really, it was hard for Brandon Lee because he didn't like how self-conscious it made him feel. You know, like he was so happy all the time, and it was hard to have this distressed look of makeup on his face all the time. And this is probably another reason that they just wanted to do the mask, because that way he wouldn't have to look at it only when you put the mask on. Do, do, do. All right. So another fun fact, this one I thought was really interesting. So they used ravens, not crows, during the filming of the movie. They trained 5 ravens for the show, for the movie, because it was filmed at night and ravens sleep at night. So they had to get the birds accustomed to flying in the rain, staying up at night, in a wind tunnel. One of them also was trained to sit on Brandon Lee's shoulders during the filming of the movie. Yeah, isn't that crazy? So, the movie. Let's talk about the curse of the movie and how it all began. So, one of the interesting things that I learned when I was watching the Cursed film show was that Brandon Lee's death was the biggest thing that happened when they were filming the movie, but there were so many other things that some people say that they were red flags. Like, immediately they should have been like, eh, we're done, we're done, we're done. But they continued to film the movie anyway. So filming for The Crow began in 1993 in Wilmington, North Carolina. So everybody's really invested, you know, they were ready. They're like, this is going to be awesome. It's going to be great. So in pre-production, the offices received a very anonymous voicemail that asked them to not go ahead with the making of the film because bad things were going to happen. So, red flag number one. The tragedies began on the very first day of shooting. A crew member was driving a cherry picker to set, backed up his pickup truck into a high-tension live wire, and it caught fire. It carried the voltage to run all the lights on the set. He suffered major second and third degree burns, but he did not die. However, he lost his ears. Oh, red flag number two. The second mishap took place when Hurricane Emily swept the Outer Banks of North Carolina and completely destroyed the set. Also that week, Entertainment Weekly wrote this article about everything that had happened so far with the filming of The Crow, and they labeled the article The Curse of the Crow. So a staff member in the production office then followed that with a badly timed comment saying, things have happened, but it's not like anyone has died yet. Red flag number three, and maybe number four in there. So Brandon Lee was gearing up for a death scene, and then the next tragedy struck. Michael Massey, who played the role of Fun Boy, which was an antagonist in the movie, was supposed to shoot Brandon Lee's character. When he shot the actor from a very close range, the bullet pierced him and wounded him mortally. The prop 44 caliber handgun had been unwillingly lodged with a live bullet, and the prop master had been sent away that very day, so nobody checked the barrel before they filmed the scene. Lee was rushed to the hospital, and after a series of unsuccessful blood transfusions, was pronounced dead at 1:04 p.m. What was even more bizarre were the similarities with Bruce Lee's death. He died while making the film Game of Death, in which he played an actor, shot after gangsters replaced a fake bullet with a live one. Although he was never charged, Mike Massey was scarred by the unfolding of these tragic events, to the point that the guilt of firing Brandon Lee haunted him until his death in 2016. Yeah. So the crew was devastated, of course, and the due date for the complete film was 8 days away. So they halted filming and they were like, what do we do now? So Brandon Lee's fiance, Eliza Hutton, and his mother, Linda Lee, convinced the crew to continue filming because Lee had been incredibly stoked about his performance and would have wanted it to be finished. So they called in a stunt double. They asked him to look more like Lee, completed the film with CGI in post-production. There are lots of rumors about his death. Some say the Chinese mafia was involved. There's also a story that Bruce Lee was cursed and the family was bound to die at the hands of the quote demon. There's lots and lots and lots of things that have happened. And many people say that the Lee family is cursed. So Bruce Lee's family, or Bruce Lee's death, was connected to some other things. So his father died in his sleep after consuming a painkiller. Later, both of their deaths were linked to that of Bruce Lee's oldest brother, the firstborn male child of that family, and he hadn't even survived childbirth. So many people think that this is random Lee family curse, and that could be the reason all this went down. You know, I guess we'll never know. But nonetheless, I wanted to tell you guys the story of the crow. I think that's it for today. My coffee still hasn't kicked in, so now I'm dragging. I hope everyone has a fantastic week, and I will post some things on Facebook and Instagram, and yeah. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. 4 and 5 stars would be awesome. If you want to give me 1 star, please email me first and tell me why. If you don't like my personality, we should be friends anyway. Yeah. I will talk to you guys soon. And go watch The Crow. Ooh, go watch Night Stalker. Go watch Star Wars. There's so many things you should go watch right now. Enjoy.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.